Job chapter 15. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "Should a wise man answer with vain knowledge and fill himself with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or with speeches with which he can do no good? Yes, you do away with fear and hinder devotion before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the language of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you." Well, Job had not sinned in the sense that he was not being punished because of his sin, because God had said at the beginning that he was being moved by the adversary, the Satan, to destroy Job without cause. And now Eliphaz is saying, "Oh, well, you've admitted with your own mouth that you're a sinner. Therefore, we are right. You are suffering because of your sin." But of course, all men sin, including Eliphaz, including the friends. So they're being very cruel with Job. They're jumping on words that he said in desperation, in deep depression. And that's very unfair. And that is unfortunately how we can be, jumping on people's words that maybe they didn't quite mean, that they said under extreme provocation. That's a horrible thing to do. And that's what Eliphaz is doing here to Job. He says, "Are you the first man who was born, or were you brought forth before the hills? Have you heard the secret counsel of God? Do you limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we don't know? What do you understand which is not in us? With us are both the grey-headed and the very aged men much older than your father. Are the consolations of God too small for you, even the word that is gentle toward you? Why does your heart carry you away? Why do your eyes flash that you turn your spirit against God and let such words go out of your mouth?" So it's the old argument. He's saying, look, we have got greater wisdom than us because the elders who are older than your father, who are grey-headed, they agree with us that you only suffer if you sin. And therefore you have sinned and that's why you're suffering and you just haven't admitted it. And this, as we keep seeing, is a big theme in this book, that traditional wisdom, the wisdom of man, what the elders think and what the fathers thought, is not necessarily right. What matters is the word of God, and that's what, in our context, we have in the Bible, and that's what we've got to follow, and not go along with the idea that, oh, but that's the traditions that we've received, much smarter people than you have figured that out. As soon as you hear that sort of reasoning, alarm bells should go off. He says, "What is man that he should be clean? What is he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he puts no trust in his holy ones, the angels. Yes, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much less one who is abominable and corrupt, a man who drinks iniquity like water?" Well, I think that Eliphaz's view of human beings and angels is wrong. He's saying that we're all sort of inevitable sinners and that the angels are sinners, etc. Well, no, the Bible is quite clear that angels don't sin. We are going to be made like the angels to die no more. They are immortal. The wages of sin is death. So therefore, angels don't sin because they don't die. And it's not true that he that is born of a woman has no chance to ever be righteous. Paul says about the Lord Jesus that he was made of a woman, made under the law. So Jesus was born of a woman, but he was righteous. So I think that this shows that what Eliphaz is saying here isn't true. He's trying to do Job down and to say that, you know, we're all inevitable sinners, so you don't have an opinion. No, God has a much higher view of us, and the Bible has a much higher view of us than that. "I will show you," he says, "listen to me," says Eliphaz, "that which I have seen I will declare, which wise men have told, were told by their fathers, and they have not hidden it, to whom alone the land was given, and no stranger passed among them." So he's saying, I'm going to tell you the wisdom of the wise. And again, what he thinks is that Job is suffering because Job has sinned, and that is not right. So all these wise men and the fathers that he quotes were wrong. It's the same with people quoting the church fathers, that therefore we must believe this or that because the church fathers said so. Well, why? No, we come to God's word, to God's voice, which is in the Bible in our days, and we go from that, not through tradition or the fathers or whatever. So he says the wicked man, this is according to the wise men and their fathers, the wicked man writhes in pain all his days. Poor old Job was writhing in pain, so he's saying, therefore you're wicked. Even the number of years that are laid up for the oppressor. A sound of terrors is in his ears. In prosperity the destroyer shall come upon him. Well, that's of course what happened to Job. He was in prosperity, he was wealthy, and then suddenly the prosperity was taken away by the destroyers coming upon him. He doesn't believe that he shall return out of darkness. He is waited for by the sword. He wanders abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knows that the day of darkness is ready at his hand. They prevail against him as a king ready to the battle, because he stretched out his hand against God and behaves himself proudly against the Almighty. He runs at him with a stiff neck, with the thick shields of his bucklers, because he has covered his face with his fatness and gathered fat on his thighs. He has lived in desolate cities, in houses which no one inhabited, which were ready to become heaps. He shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue, neither shall their possessions be extended on the earth. He shall not depart out of darkness, the flame shall dry up his branches. By the breath of God's mouth he goes away. Let him not trust in emptiness, deceiving himself. Emptiness shall be his reward. It shall be accomplished before his time, his branch shall not be green. He shall shake off his unripe grape as the vine, and shall cast off his flower as the olive tree. For the company of the godless shall be barren. Maybe talking about how Job had lost his children, and fire shall consume the tents of bribery. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Their heart prepares deceit. Well, he's saying all this about Job, implying that all these terrible things were true of Job, that he was such a wicked man, and that's why he suffered his family being destroyed and his wealth taken away. He was godless, he was guilty of bribery, he was conceiving mischief, he had a deceitful heart, and all this rah-rah. And he's saying that, yeah, the wise men and our fathers said that people like that get suffering, get the sort of things happening to them that happened to you. Therefore, you are guilty. And as I say, this is putting false guilt on poor Job and insisting that the tradition of men and traditional sayings of men, of our fathers, of so-called wise men, must be right, when in fact, no. It is the hand and word of God that we've got to discern and learn from him. And the whole story shows that the traditions of men, and don't forget, these three friends were the sons of God, they were worshippers of God, the one true God, they just had it so badly wrong. And people do get it badly wrong, and we get things so badly wrong. And this is why all you can do is to humble yourself before experience and before the actual word of God, even if it's very different to what the others think.